Welcome to Vocation Cast. It is May 2012.
And this is what's coming up on this month's podcast.
I've been a priest now for 26 years. And I must say, honestly, I've always found joy in the priesthood.
Sure, the very nature of the church is communication.
I've also just finished a major 10-part documentary about the Catholic faith that took me all over the world.
Whenever there is good communication going on, there is always good silence going on.
Cardinal Francis George asked me a few years ago to jumpstart evangelization.
Jesus was a communicator. The apostles were communicators.
Silence is one of the elements that enables us to broadcast the good news.
If you are ready to listen, then the Pope has many good things to say.
And as I say, it was like something just was stirred in me. From that moment, I became fascinated with God and the things of God.
I speak personally with the Pope, and he explains me what was the subject of the speech.
And I began to think, maybe I should give myself utterly to God. I should make God the real center of my life.
Welcome to Vocation Cast. Thanks for joining us. My name is Dan Fitzpatrick.
And my name is Frankie Mulgrew.
And we're both seminarians. We're students training to be Catholic priests in the UK.
Yeah, now this month it's World Communications Day on May the 20th. So we wanted to mark this with a special edition featuring a vocation story from Father Robert Barron, a reflection on the Pope's message from Father Christopher Jemison, and an interview with the director of the Holy See Press Office, Father Federico Lombardi.
Those are some big guests we've got coming up.
It's a big show.
But just before we get to them, we'd just like to say thank you to our listeners, those who tune in every month. We do have listeners from all over the world, from the USA to Australia.
From Ireland to Italy.
From Malta to Russia.
We have people listening in the Philippines and in Canada.
From Hong Kong to Spain.
Hola, hola. And Zambia in Kenya.
We'd just like to give a big shout out as well to some specific listeners who got in contact with us. Father Tim Byron is listening all the way from India. Hello, Father Tim.
Hi, Father. How you doing? Janet Hopper, a youth minister in Sunderland, is listening, tuning in.
And Father James Bradley, you may remember he was on the podcast about 2 months ago sharing his vocation story. Well, he was just recently ordained to the priesthood for the Ordinariate of Our Lady of Walsingham. So congratulations and prayers go out to Father James.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you'd like to get in touch or keep him a loop with all our information, up-to-date information, you can visit our website, which is www.vocationcast.org.
Yeah, we're also on Twitter. You can tweet us at VocationCast.
And also follow us on Facebook. It's a Facebook page.
Just before we get to our first guest, which is Father Robert Barron, we just want to take a look at some statistics that have come out from Christian Vision and Premier Christian Media, who surveyed 700 Christians in the UK about their attitudes to online mission. And this is just to give a bit of a background into how Christians in the United Kingdom are using the new media to spread the faith and how important it is to use the new ways of communication.
Yeah, 83% agree that the online world is a huge mission field.
65% intentionally share their faith online.
71% post links to Christian sites or content with missional values.
And 73% intentionally post or link to content from their social media pages in order to share the faith. Now, these statistics are very encouraging, amazing to see so many people using media to spread the gospel message. And as Christians online, we should not be afraid to share our faith.
Yeah, which leads nicely to our first guest, who has himself, as a priest, been blazing the trail in the new multimedia. It's Father Robert Barron.
Father Robert Barron is a priest from the Archdiocese of Chicago in the United States. He is most known for his Word on Fire media ministry website where, among other things, he makes YouTube videos which offer a Catholic commentary on culture.
He has recently released a 10-part series called Catholicism, which is being viewed on TV stations all over the world. Father Barron has also just become rector of Mundelein Seminary in Chicago. He was in the UK at the beginning of this month, and as a priest involved in the media, we caught up with him and asked him to share his vocation story.
Hello, this is Father Robert Barron. I'm the director of Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. Well, the vocation story really begins when I was about 14, and I was a freshman in high school. I was going to a Catholic high school, and I was a Catholic kid and went to Mass on Sunday, but I wasn't really all that involved in the church. And then one of our professors, a Dominican teacher, presented the five arguments for God's existence from Thomas Aquinas. And it was like a bell going off for me. It just seemed so persuasive and so reasonable to believe in God. I never had really thought about God that deeply. And as I say, it was like something just was stirred in me. And from that moment, I became fascinated with God and the things of God. And actually was going to the library, a local library, to find books of Thomas Aquinas. And I was barely able to understand what they were about, but I was just kind of compelled to read them. And so that interest grew and grew, and this intellectual fascination eventually became more of a fascination of the heart, you know? And I began to think, maybe I should give myself utterly to God. I should make God the real center of my life. Then that, I think, developed into priesthood, desire to be a priest. So I kind of thought my way into it. I came of age at a time in America when, you know, after the council, there's a great deal of confusion. Frankly, the religious instruction really wasn't that good. And it was this strange, as you would say, kind of a one-off event when I came to Thomas Aquinas that lit a fire in me, and which eventually led to, I think, to desire to be a priest. I've been a priest now for 26 years. And I must say, honestly, I've always found joy in the priesthood. There's never been a time when I thought, oh, I made the wrong decision, or, oh, I need to get out of this. I always felt a great deal of joy and life in the priesthood. And I think very early on, I got that sense that I've talked about, that your life is not about you, and you realize that you're being used by God. And of course, when you're used by God, it's not like you're being used by a human being, like you're not being manipulated. You're being elevated. You know, like the burning bush, which is on fire but not consumed. I think when God takes possession of you, you're on fire, but you're not destroyed. You become enhanced and more radiant. And I've always felt that, I think, in the priesthood. I've always felt this wonderful sense of being, however unworthily, a vehicle of God's grace. And that's always given me a great deal of joy. I began in a parish. I was in a parish for 4 years and enjoyed it. I loved parish life. But also, I always loved the life of the mind and studies. And soon enough, the seminary came to me and said, would you like to, you know, go for a doctorate? So I did that. I went to the Institut Catholique in Paris. Spent 3 years and got my doctorate in theology, then came back to teach. And so most of my priesthood has been teaching in the seminary, but then more broadly going out around the country and then eventually around the world to give talks and lectures and retreats. And I found great, great joy in that. You know, to share what I've taken in through books and through studies with people. And to bring out, I would say, the spiritual dimension of theology or the theological dimension of spirituality. I've always tried to read those two things together. And then that led eventually to the work in evangelization. Cardinal Francis George, my current archbishop, asked me a few years ago, as he put it, to jumpstart evangelization. And so I've been doing that, working on evangelizing the culture over the past many years, using the new media, especially the internet. I've also just finished a major documentary, 10-part documentary about the Catholic faith that took me all over the world to 16 countries. So that's been a very exciting, and you know, if you'd asked me 8 years ago, I never would have seen any of that on the radar screen, but there it happened because of Cardinal George's invitation. So that's been a great joy as well.
Big thank you to Father Robert Barron for sharing his vocation story with us. And he was in the UK just a few weeks ago, and we managed to catch up with him when he was given a talk at Oscott Seminary, where both myself and Frankie study. If you want to know more about his Word on Fire ministries, the website is www.wordonfire.org. And you can also follow him on Twitter. His Twitter account is at Father Robert Barron.
So Dan, tell me, what's been going on for you? Well, in fact, I know what's been going on for you. It's a leading question. You were a big event happened recently in your life.
Just a few weeks ago, I received candidacy for holy orders.
Fantastic. Now, just explain for people that may not know what you just said, what that means. Just give us a little bit more info on that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, it's like the step that happens before ordination, really.
Okay, so it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's the seminary putting you forward as a candidate for holy orders, for ordination as a deacon, and then, please God, as a priest.
I've kind of heard it described as the engagement party.
Oh, really? I'd never even heard
no,
that.
No, really? Yeah, yeah. That's how it's kind of being explained, like in layperson's terms. It's the engagement do.
Anyway, forget about the engagement party.
Yeah.
Something exciting's coming up on the 30th of June. The actual event for Mr. Frankie Mulgrew sitting opposite me. Frankie, what's going to happen on the 30th of June?
Well, Dan, on the 30th of June, please God, I'm going to be ordained deacon.
Hey, woo! You hear the round of applause?
Yeah. That's it. Is that all I get? That's what the church is giving me. Just one bloke in the corner clapping his hands. Yeah, God willing, yeah, I'm going to be ordained to deacon. Yeah. I'm going to be a deacon. Reverend Frankie Mulgrew. That's going to be my new name.
So, Frankie, you received candidacy last year.
I did.
So, this year, you'll be ordained a deacon.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
And big step.
It's a big step. It's a massive step. And because it means now ministry. I can begin my life in ministry. So, because as a deacon, you can read the gospel at Mass, and you can also preach. You can do the homily. But as well, you can also baptize, you know, infants and adults as well. Though sometimes it's tricky trying to lift the adult over the font. Sorry. But you can also do funerals as well, which is, you know, so it's for world and ministry starts to open up now.
Yeah. Also some big commitments as well at ordination.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, some big promises.
Two massive promises, yeah. A promise to be obedient to my bishop and also a promise to live a celibate life. You know, we can only do it with the strength of God, you know, by the grace and the power of God, really, you know.
Yeah, obviously, I won't be there.
Yeah.
Got other things on.
You got other commitments.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, don't forget to write at least. Send me a postcard from wherever you are.
Yeah, I'll say a prayer.
Okay, yeah. That's appreciated.
No, of course I'll be there. Got no choice.
Yeah.
It's an obligation in the seminary to be at the ordinations. But no, please, everybody at home, this is it's a big step for Frankie, so please pray for him.
Thank you. Bless you.
Also, coming up this summer, something else we've also been preparing for is...
Mega, mega, mega exciting event here at Oscott College.
Yeah, is the Invocation Festival. Now, Invocation is an international, people from all over Europe come, vocations event. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking about the possibility of following God's call for you, then this is where you want to be. It's a festival that happens here at Oscott College every year.
Yeah, and come and listen. Come and just be in the prayerful atmosphere and listen to what God's asking of you, you know, in a very kind of real sense, a very kind of tangible way, and be accompanied by lots of young people that are in a similar position to what you are, you know, and are just trying to seek out what ultimately is going to make them happy and to follow God and whatever God's call is in your life. That will be your natural fulfillment to happiness. So do, make it a date in your diary and be there.
Yeah, and that's going to be on the 6th to the 8th of July. It's over a weekend. And if you want to know more about it and hear some more encouraging words about it, there's a podcast which has been released, a series of podcasts leading up to the event, which you can find on our website, vocationcast.org. And if you want to book up, you can also go on the Invocation website, which is invocation.org.uk.
And up next... It's Father Christopher Jemison.
Yeah, a few months ago, the Pope released a message for World Communications Day, which we've mentioned is coming up on the 20th of May. And in that message, he talks a lot about the use of silence when communicating the gospel through media. And to give us a reflection on the Pope's message, we've asked Father Christopher Jemison.
Now, Father Christopher Jemison is the former abbot of a Benedictine monastery, Worth Abbey. He became well known after featuring the BBC TV show The Monastery and has since went on to become a best-selling author and make another BBC TV show called The Big Silence.
He is currently the National Director for Vocations for the Bishops' Conference in England and Wales. Father Christopher's ministry is largely media-based, and so he is qualified to share with us his thoughts on the Pope's message for World Communications Day 2012.
In his message for Communications Sunday this year, our Holy Father Pope Benedict has highlighted the role of silence in communication. Nowadays, people think of communication in terms of more noise, more words, more 24-hour news, more of everything, but they don't think so easily of silence as part of communication. One of the things that Christians can bring to communication is to highlight the role of silence in effectively communicating between people. So, for example, before we go into a meeting or an interview, we can spend time just in silent prayer, preparing ourselves to make sure that what we say comes out of a silent attentiveness to the Holy Spirit at work in our meeting or our interview. So that element of preparation by silence is a key to good communication. Secondly, when we're in the conversation, we need to make sure that we listen to the other person. And of course, silence on our part is a key aspect of listening to the speech of the other person. So whenever there is good communication going on, there is always good silence going on because somebody is always listening. Now, there is a bad silence, which is the silence that comes from embarrassment, like the silence in a lift when people don't quite know what to say to each other because they're strangers and they're only going to be in the lift for a moment. Or there can be the bad silence of somebody who's in a bit of a corner and says, I don't want to speak. Sometimes even aspects of the church can say no comment when they do better off to say something rather than leave other people to fill the airwaves with misunderstanding or misrepresentation of the gospel and of the church. So if we prepare silently in prayer, if we listen with loving attention to what the other person is saying, and if we then speak out of that loving silence, then the message of Christ in all its richness will stay in the airwaves. And in that way, silence is one of the elements that enables us to broadcast the good news.
So a big thank you there to Father Christopher Jemison. And you can follow Father Christopher on Twitter at Father Chris Jemison. And now it's time for our final interview. For World Communications Day, we have a special interview up now.
Yeah, a few months ago, I had the great opportunity to go to Rome. My bishop sent me to Rome for a communications conference there. Really great conference. But while I was there, I had the immense privilege to go and spend some time with Father Federico Lombardi. Now, Father Lombardi is the Holy See press officer. He's also director of Vatican Radio and director of the Vatican Television Center. It was great to be able to go and visit his office and to spend some time with him.
Yeah, and how was that? How was he?
It was really, really good. I was told by his secretary before I went in there that I had 15 minutes with him and ended up spending an hour and a half with him in his office.
Yeah, great. Excellent.
Did an interview with him, which was about 30 minutes long, but for the purpose of the show, that's been cut down a bit. Then just spent an hour with him, just chatting with him and getting to know him. Really, really nice man.
This priest flies all around the world, the Pope. I mean, he would be recognisable to most people because he's always there kind of controlling and helping with the media. Whenever the Pope travels anywhere. But what was it like to kind of, you know, just hang out with him for a bit?
It was fantastic. A lot of people will know that the Pope has recently been to Mexico and Cuba, and there was a big media story when the Pope was in Cuba about him meeting Fidel Castro, the former communist leader of Cuba. And on his desk was a pack of photos that had just come through, and Father Federico was showing me his photos of this occasion, because obviously, being close to the Pope, he was with the Pope when the Pope met Fidel Castro, and he showed me through his own personal photos of himself meeting Fidel Castro, and it was just amazing to just to have a window into a completely different world, really, into what it's like to be a part of the papal entourage, really, to have those opportunities to meet state leaders.
Fantastic, yeah.
So it was great, and he gave a great interview as to his role within the Vatican in terms of media.
Father Federico Lombardi is probably the most visible man after a Pope in the Catholic Church, and here he is.
So we are very honoured to have Father Federico Lombardi on Vocation Cast. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you. I am honoured to be invited to participate in this podcast.
Could you explain a bit about who you are and what your jobs are?
I am rather old. I am practically 70 years old. And now I have three charges. One is the director of the press office of the Holy See, that is contact with the journalists, with the press, to explain what the Holy See does, what the Pope says, and so on. Then I am general director of Vatican Radio, that is the radio of the Holy See, with many languages to explain to the entire world through the waves what the Pope is doing and what the Church thinks about the world of today. And then I am also director of the Vatican Television Center, that is not a broadcasting station, but is a production center that produce the images of the activity of the Pope and forwards these images to the television that are interested to broadcast them.
So you don't have that much to do then?
We have very much to do, but I find this a very good job. I think this is for me a joy.
Could you explain a bit more about your role as director of the Holy See Press Office?
I am the director of the Press Office of the Holy See. That is a press office that serves to all the institutions of the Holy See, of the different dicasteries, not in particular the Secretariat of State, but also, for instance, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, the Council for the Culture, the Council for the Health Care, and so on. And then I have to organize press conferences to present the documents of all these different institutions.
In your job, what is your relationship like with the Holy Father? Do you have regular meetings with him?
Naturally, I do several communiques about acts of the Pope, and then if the Pope receives important personality, head of state, and so on, then after this meeting, I speak personally with the Pope, and he explains me what was the subject of the speech, so that I can prepare the communique about this. For instance, in another occasion, I had to present a book of the Pope, the interview book, Light for the World, yeah. And then I had a session with the Pope to ask him exactly the interpretation of some of his answers, right, to explain this to the press, and so on. There are occasions in which I am by the Pope.
So, Father Federico, you were in the UK in 2010 when the Holy Father made the historic visit to the United Kingdom. Did you enjoy your journey around Scotland and England?
Oh, yes. This was a marvelous trip. The result, the success, was much better than we have waited for. That is, though, as you remember, there were discussions in the before in the public opinion. There were criticism in the journal, in the papers, and so on. And then there was a certain preoccupation: how will the Pope be accepted by the people, and so on. And then the reception was wonderful. Really, the people were so enthusiastic, so ready to listen. This is the most important things. To be ready to listen what the Pope has to say, because if you think before, you already know what the Pope will say, then you will understand practically nothing. But if you are ready to listen, then the Pope has many good things to say. This was, in particular, in the Westminster Hall, a big experience. There was an attention, a silence, and the Pope had, I think, a very important speech that remains one of the most important speech of the pontificate, wow. I think.
Last summer, news.va was launched, the Vatican's news website. And we saw that famous video of the Pope sending his first tweet on Twitter.
Yeah.
Does the Pope, the Vatican, the Church take a great interest in social media?
Yeah, as I have said at the beginning, I am 70. I am not a native digital. Yeah. Yes. But I understand, I have to understand how the communication functions today, and that the church has to use, to be present, to use, because this is the world, the atmosphere, the milieu of the communication today. And if we have to reach the people, to communicate with the people, I think that the young people have to find really this the way to use this new world of technologies to communicate the experience of the faith, because maybe for me or for older people it is not so easy. We are more acquainted with writing and so on.
Do you think it's important that more Catholics should be working in the mainstream media?
Yes, I think that that it is a good thing to feel the vocation to be communicators. Also in the mainstream media, also in the secular media, as we can say, it is important to be present. Maybe sometimes it is not so easy, because you don't find the readiness to accept maybe your proposal or your message. But I think that if you are very able, very, very competent, you can also find a way, respect. I think that it is also a good vocation to be communicator in the church, because the church needs also some internal instrument of communication, because there are needs of communication in the community, because also the community of the church has communication needs that are not answered by the mainstream or secular media. With the time, with the years, I have learned that there is a continuity between the mission of the church and communication, because the church has a mission that is to announce the gospel, to announce the word of God, the gospel of Jesus, and then the nature, the very nature of the church is, in a certain sense, communication. Jesus was a communicator, the apostles were communicating with the word, not with the Facebook, but in any case they were communicating. And then during the history, the church was always using the different media that were invented by the men.
I know you're a Jesuit priest, so I thought I've got a joke for you. Do you like jokes?
Yeah.
A man really wants a Ferrari, so he goes to the local Franciscans, and he knocks on the door, and he says, "Father, please would you pray a novena for me? I want a Ferrari." And the Franciscan says, "Of course we will pray a novena. We love praying novenas. We are very holy here. Only one question: what is a Ferrari?" And the man says, "Oh, forget it." And he goes and knocks on the Dominicans, and the Dominican comes to the door and he says, "Father, could you please pray a novena for me to have a Ferrari?" And the Dominican says, "Oh, we love praying novenas. We will pray for you. But one question: what's a Ferrari?" And the man says, "Forget it." So he goes to the Jesuit parish and he knocks on the door, and the Jesuit comes to the door and he says, "Father, please would you pray a novena for me? I really want a Ferrari." And the Jesuit says, "A Ferrari? Fantastic. I have a Ferrari. All my parishioners have Ferraris. But one question: what is a novena?"
No, this is too much.
Father Federico Lombardi, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for giving me this occasion to communicate some good things.
Big thank you to Father Federico Lombardi for joining us on Vocation Cast and spending some time out of his busy schedule. Remember, he is director of Vatican Radio, TV and the Holy See Press Office, so it was a real privilege to have him on Vocation Cast, and we hope you got a lot out of that interview.
And that's it. That's a wrap for this month. But please join us for next month's edition of Vocation Cast, as it will be the last in the season. And we will feature an exclusive interview with Charles Whitehead. Charles was a former president of the International Charismatic Renewal Movement within the Catholic Church.
And we also have a vocation story from Sister Catherine Battle, who is a Sister of Mercy and is currently teaching RE in a school in Sunderland in the northeast of England. But that's it.
That's it.
If you want to get in touch, we're on Twitter at VocationCast, VocationCast.org, and we're also on Facebook. Please do join us next time for the last episode of the series.
God bless you. Take care.
Bye-bye.